Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's great. We, you know, told the guys congrats on the regular season, finishing 51-31, second place finish, and being one of the best teams record-wise and plus-minus and offensively, defensively since February. So, you know, with the rocky start, we adjusted, got healthy, kind of bought into everything and kind of hit the ground running in February. So, like, we were always somewhat optimistic, never had a terrible losing streak, you know, and win two, lose two, back and forth. So it was never a seven-game losing streak or some of the things you saw from some of the really good teams this year that lost, you know, six out of nine and stuff like that. So we always stayed optimistic as far as that and to do what we've done. Obviously proud of that, but looking forward now to what matters.
All right, another episode of the College HD Podcast. I am Josue Pavone, alongside Joel Pavone, Sean Ducha. Boston Celtics finished with the second best record in the Eastern Conference, man. This is unbelievable. Of course, we're going to talk about the upcoming, the first round of the playoffs and the potential matchup for the Celtics. But before we get into that, guys, let's just talk about what an incredible season for this team, man. I mean, we've been saying this for weeks, but now that it's set in stone, this team is the second best record in the NBA, 51 wins for Ime Udoka. The turnaround this team did is unbelievable, man. I cannot wait for this playoff run, guys. I cannot wait. I don't care who they're playing in the first round. We'll get into the scenarios. We'll get into the, you know, should the Celtics have gone a different route. We'll get into all of that, but let's just give this team the prop that they deserve, man. Of course, from Ime Udoka down to the starters to everybody, man. This team has come a long way.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy the turnaround because I do feel like this year was the year that even tested, like, it's been all gravy for the past, you know, since the turn of 2022. But like, there were some dark days there in December, man. Like, even for the of Celtics, like, green teaming, you know, green Kool-Aid drinking fans. You know, I know a few of them, you know, but like, it was dark times there. You know what I mean? Like, people were giving up on this team. They were, and then to have the turnaround they did, I think it's the way I would sum up the season is it's more of like relief than satisfaction. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Because it's like, from my perspective, I knew this is the team that I thought we should have had the entire year and last year, but we haven't. And you started to wonder, really, are these the right pieces? Is this not the right thing? You know, is Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum not the core to build around? But then sort of.
Yeah. Drop Ducha's takes from November and December right here.
Yeah. Oh, every episode was like, yo, I think it's time to trade, you know, Jaylen for bad player X here. Like, oh, no, every episode. Yeah.
I even moved faster.
Fire Ime.
John Collins, bro? You wouldn't take John Collins right now, bro?
No, if you guys remember
Bro, bring back Brad Stevens. Like, Ime is not working. Yeah.
Now, that was my scorching hot take to start the year. You are right. And I was justified. But,
Marcus Smart is listening to, you know, Felger and Mads, and that's why he's not playing like Marcus Smart, like the way we know him to play.
Yep. Also,
let it out. Come on, Sean, drop it. Just let it all out, guys.
No. If you guys remember correctly, I went from panicking and trying to figure out just to apathy at one point. Remember my big take is just like, you know what?
Let's blow it up. You said
don't
it.
Do, no, I said, don't do fucking anything.
Before that was blow it up, but yeah.
Just let it go. Just fucking, just don't do anything. And then just it, you probably will go, you know, 25 and whatever, but just don't help them. You know what I mean?
I think your low key best take would be when you just said, look, if Marcus is going to make these mistakes, just let him do it. Cause he's got to figure this point guard thing out. And that was something I was trying to preach as well, but it got pretty damn hard when this team fell well under 500 and Marcus was going through it. And, you know, listen, I wasn't one of those guys who was saying, oh, Marcus was out of line, out of pocket for calling out these guys. No, I was like, look, that's fine, but let's see you back it up. And yeah, it took him a bit, just like it took the entire team, but that was just naturally going to happen with any team, right? Because it just took a while for them to get out of those terrible habits that they were so into, because let's face it, did a lot with what they wanted out there when Brad Stevens was the head coach. And Brad was the head coach for quite a bit, you know?
Brad just said, look, fuck it.
Again, he did. And I've said this so many times too. It's not a knock on Brad, but yeah, to a certain extent, right, Joel? He did kind of say that because he lost his voice in that locker room. And that's just going to happen naturally. That's going to happen naturally.
I'm signed for the next 4 or 5 years. So, you know, we'll figure some shit out at some point.
It was right. Brutal. Like, I actually think it would be very funny to go back and pick out all of our worst takes during that November, December little run there we had.
Oh, man, of course. Well, except for Joel. Joel is just like everything. No, okay, everything's fine. It's cool. why do you say that, Joel? It's just they're, you know, they're going to be fine.
They'll figure it out. At some point, I'll figure it out. Don't do anything. Yeah. Just lay there. Just lay there.
Like, can you give us a stance, please?
Pop up, please. Pop up.
my whole thing for the last, what, like, it's 15 months has been Tatum and Brown have to have a conversation because something needs to be settled because they're playing together on the same team, but they're not. It was like a pickup game watching those guys play together.
Yeah, so, man.
Now it's a completely different vibe. Completely.
Yeah, because yeah.
A completely different approach between those two.
Yeah, because for the most part, the narrative was, you know, Brown and Tatum can't play together, so get rid of one and bring in another star. And it was like, all right, so then you're back to two stars or two young stars or whatever, two all stars, and you have the same issue and you're giving up the future pretty much, right?
As the Celtics go on a 10-year run here of being the dominant team in the East. We're going to look back on this year and like how close everyone was to say, just tear up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Crazy. It's wild. But
no, but have you guys ever seen a tournament like this? I'm just saying, like, not just Celtics wise, but like it just in general, like a team that maybe not as high expectations, but like just a team that was just like, whoa, like two stars in the making. And, you know, you added more veteran help. You got a player's coach, so to speak, in the locker room now, and below 500. Even when they would win like three or four in a row, they were still below 500 for the most part. The first half of the season, right? We'd be like, oh no, they just need to go on like on a 5-game winning streak, and they still would be below 500.
They never went on a 5-game winning streak. They went like on a.
That's what I'm saying. No, they win like 4 out of 7.
And then I was like, what the hell did that happen?
No, but even when they would go on like a little streak,
I was like, this team just needs to get hot. That's all. Go on a 5-game winning streak.
But even when they sort of quote got hot,
4-0.
They would make it. They would just get right to 500 or one game over 500. And I was like, is this a turnaround, guys? Is this where it's going to happen?
Like, because they kept toying with 500 and being like, okay, fine, we reset, we're back to 500, and then they lose four straight. And you're like, motherfucker,
it got so bad that Sean started calling like 3-1 for his look ahead predictions. He was like, I don't know, guys, 3-1, but it's like, what do you mean?
No.
They go 2-2, if they go 2-2 in this stretch, that's gonna be a blessing. Like, stop it. It's like.
No, but we've seen teams
giving them three wins in 1 week.
I don't think I ever changed up from
I think he was always, you know, 4-0 or whatever.
No, there was one episode he was like, nah, man, I can't even do it this time.
Maybe there was one episode, but I don't know.
No, but we've seen teams that would have high expectations, you know, not reach them, or, you know, look at the fucking Lakers, didn't even make it to the playoffs, for example, right? But have we ever seen a team that was well below 500, hovering around 500 to the second best team in the East, or you know, for the overall the second best team out, you know, in the NBA, like in terms of complete turnaround.
Even if you're just looking at like the four major sports, like there's obviously been teams that have had major turnarounds, but normally it comes with this drastic improvement of their team, like a key player coming back from injury or a major trade or a huge head coaching shakeup midway through the season. This team just literally like traded Dennis Schroeder and brought in Derek White. Like that's all they did. It didn't even
have ties.
Daniel Tice, man.
Danny T. but that happened sort of during the run. And all like it literally was just like, oh, you know what? We're just actually gonna play better. I don't think I've ever seen a team just do that and have this drastic of a turnaround, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can't in recent memory. I mean, a few episodes ago, Sean, you brought it up. I think it was when Sway almost missed his flight. You were talking about like the last Celtics team that like played this good offensively and defensively, and he was like, "This team is the best team since the 08-09 team." And legit, I saw after the Grizzlies game, they showed like their average, like, you know, point differential, you know, during the whole season, even during the turnaround, even when they were sucking, it was literally the best team since that team that you talked about, the 2008-2009 squad.
Yeah.
That's crazy. To even think, because of like all the other good like Celtics team that we saw during that era, like, you know, I'm not talking about like right now, but right. During that era, but like
yeah,
over a decade later, yeah. And you know, a rookie coach comes in here and just literally like, yo, no, we're gonna fucking play defense and the rest is gonna figure itself out.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I'm like, look, this is a championship defense. Like, there's no question about that. Like, that's how long it's been since we've seen a team defend this well, especially a Celtics team. And that's how dominant that team was, you know, back in 08-09 and throughout that era. And the Celtics, we haven't seen them come remotely close to playing this well defensively since like the IT era. Remember we were talking about that when they were very, very similar position in terms of like, you know, whether it was fewest points allowed or
yeah,
percentage, field goal percentage, opposing field goal percentage, they're always top two, top three. Like those are the teams that were one win away or at least got the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, with that being said, I think everybody watching this team and following this run, like that has to be worst case scenario for this team to get that far, to get the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, everyone knows that the talent is there. So why are people talking about or considering the Brooklyn Nets a team as a threat? You know, and look, I know the Celtics would be a favorite in this kind of matchup, but I feel like people need to start giving the Celtics a little more credit, you know? And granted, on ESPN and the national media, they're calling them the dark horse. They're calling the team in the East that you don't want to face. But against this Brooklyn Nets team, I mean, look, if I'm Ime Udoka, this is exactly what I want for this team. This is the stepping stone. You know what I mean? Like, this is like the mental block that you need to conquer. This is like the, okay, you know, we beat the bully that's been maybe not the team that's always in everybody's way, but it just seemed like because of last year's playoffs, because of the storyline surrounding Kyrie Irving, like this would be a huge step for Tatum and Brown to be like, man, we've really matured. We've really come a long way from those days of when Kyrie Irving was our point guard.
Yeah, it would be huge for the simple fact that, like you said, like there's a lot of Celtics fans and NBA fans that are just like, don't count out, you know, KD and Kyrie in the playoffs, right? Okay. Considering what we saw a year ago, they had James Harden, even though he didn't play the whole series, but like leading up to the playoffs, like James Harden was a big part of what they did a season ago. You know, fast forward, you know, this year, they've had no chemistry whatsoever. If they barely had chemistry a year ago, like this season, and compared to the way the Celtics chemistry has been just not just during this turnaround, but like when the naysayers were doubting that, like, oh, this team like fucking hates each other, they were ready to prove everybody wrong. And like you said, Sway, and what's a better way to get this run going than to face the Nets? You know, bring on the Nets. Like they shouldn't be scared of anybody at this point.
Yeah, I'm sort of happy that this is happening. I mean, normally these type of beat the bully games don't happen in the first round, which is just a little bit weird, right? But I think there's something to be said about if they did get a cakewalk game and like series in round one, like does that give them a little bit of false confidence? Like, you know, but if you go up against Brooklyn, I mean, the way it's going to shake out, They're going to have to beat Brooklyn. They're going to have to beat Milwaukee.
And that's another part of this too, right?
You know what I mean? Like that.
And who was the last thing you said? I didn't hear the last part.
Philly or Miami, right? Whoever wins that 1-4 matchup. But
basically the three teams that have kicked them out of the playoffs the last 3 years, right?
Essentially. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, this is their revenge tour, man. Like that's how I would be looking at it. If I'm Jason Tatum, I'm remembering everything about the Kyrie days, you know, and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. I mean, they've looked at Brooklyn over the past, 2 years and maybe even three when everybody, KD went there, sat out the full season, right? And then Brooklyn.
With the bubble season, yeah.
That was the bubble season. That was
the bubble season. Like Kyrie played like 15 games and then he's like,
Yeah. So, I mean, this team has been the team to beat in the East for 3 years now, right? And
they have nothing to show for it, by the way.
They haven't won shit. They haven't had a one seed. They've only won two playoff series. Like, I mean, let's be honest. That's a lot.
One technically, because they made it to the second round last season. They didn't make it to the third round. They made it to the second round.
Well, they've only won one playoff series against the Celtics.
And I say it's just the Celtics,
They didn't have Jaylen Brown, and they went up against the Nets, and they were floundering. So, like, you beat up they have a one playoff win, and all of the self-proclaimed or the media proclaimed best team in the East, best team ever put together. There's a lot of bulletin board material for the Celtics team to get up for this game. And Ime's going to be pushing the right buttons, I think. And the difference is this team can compete with the talent on the floor this year, which they haven't been able to do in the past. I think last year you looked at that series and you're like, wow, the Nets have the top three players in the series, right?
Not necessarily, but Jaylen was out, so you couldn't put Jaylen in that mix.
Right, but I think the ascendance of Tatum into and passing Kyrie and Harden this year and, you know, being head-to-head with Durant is legitimate. That's a huge improvement over last year's team. Even if Jaylen Brown was healthy, they're still not beating the Nets last year with the way they were playing. So I am optimistic about this series. I will put it that way. And fuck Steve Nash, man. That guy can't coach, and you know coaches are as much as people want to say coaches are important. It's all about the talent in a playoff series. If it gets down to like nut cutting time in the fourth quarter, you want a coach that's going to be able to get you guys in the position to win. And the Nets do not have that, and they don't play a lick of defense.
Plus, here's a caveat. Ime was just in that locker room a season ago, so.
Yeah, so he's exactly. So the coaching staff got significantly worse from last year. Their defense and role players significantly worse from last year.
Or non-existent because you got Joe Harris. There's a couple
outside
other guys
of Joe Harris is gone. Outside of Brett Brown, who is a seventh man at best. He's the third best player on that team right now. Is his name Brett Brown or is that the coach's?
Bruce Brown.
Fred Brown.
Boston's own.
Fred Brown, dude.
Fred Brown's running the point, bro.
I think his name is Bobby Davidson, bro.
Bobby Davidson. No, that shows you how much.
Fred Brown.
That shows you how much depth the Nets have.
Kyrie, you're going to have to pass me the ball.
The first.
Come on.
The first black Brett ever.
No.
What is that? It's like a New Hampshire accent. It's like kind of Boston-ish, but it's not.
It's weird. It's weird.
Definitely like Maine. Kind of like a Maine accent.
Yeah, it's a Maine accent. We have a great core.
Nah, so outside of KD, there is no certainty on that Nets team, and there's nothing good about the Nets team outside of KD, in my opinion. So, yeah, let's wash them.
So is that the reason? Is that why Ime chose this route? Because they could have gone another route. They could have sat their guys against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well,
they could
have
took an L, kept the season at around 50 wins, and said, you know what? let's head up north to Canada and take on the Raptors. I mean, did they pick this route for that specific reason to avoid that, or what is this? Is this the preferred route to go up against the like Sean put it? What was it? The payback season and go up against the teams that have prevented you from reaching the NBA finals the last 2-3 years.
I think it's even though it didn't appear that way, that they really don't care who they were going to face. I mean, when they lost to the Bucks, and I really thought that, like, you know, if everyone was going to play in the second half, like the starters going to play in the second half, I'm like, why the fuck didn't just play Tatum to begin with? You want to rest Horford, fine, but you know, play Tatum and then you win the game and you don't have to worry about the Memphis game. But anyways, they won the Memphis game, which, you know, they got the second seed. Great. Awesome. I think the team that was avoiding or trying to, you know, choose a route were the Bucks, right?
The Bucks didn't want any smoke.
The Bucks didn't want, from Brooklyn.
It's pathetic. Yeah,
they called up all of Giannis's brothers. Like, yo, you guys are all playing.
Yeah, the whole Antetokounmpo, cousins, sisters, brothers.
Uncle.
Even Grandpa Antetokounmpo got up.
Grandpa Antetokounmpo. Grandpa Papadopoulos Antetokounmpo came through, yo.
Giannis is like, he ain't washed yet.
I just signed a one-day deal. All right, let's go.
Yeah. My dream come true today.
Yo, all of Greece was in that lineup, bro.
And one G League player.
And they lost by 65 points. Like, that was easy.
You can't forget Drew Holiday did play 7 seconds of that game.
Yes.
$300,000. Imagine somebody doing that in Boston. They would get roasted. Absolutely.
Would you guys do that if you were the, like, you guys are the, if you're obviously, if you're the Bucks, right? If you're in that position, you're the champions. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the kind of message you want to send out there, that you're that vulnerable.
I really thought that, like, you know, as this was coming down the stretch, I was like, yo, Milwaukee, I thought Milwaukee really wanted that first seed, but then when they were like, doesn't look like it's going to happen, let's just chill out here, you know? And it's like,
listen, Milwaukee.
I feel like Milwaukee was thinking about, sorry, real quick, I feel like Milwaukee was thinking about that shot, about Durant, like, oh man, but if you made that three last year, you know, none of this would have happened. It's like,
yeah,
you can't think that way. You gotta think that you're on another level, that you've reached another, you know what I mean?
Put it like this. Like, if the Celtics got the 3 seed, right, I would have gone back to that Bucks game, obviously. And I would have been like, look, now you're potentially facing the Bucks on the road in a potential game 7, then at home. So, I mean, if the shoe's on the other foot, I don't know if Milwaukee just doesn't, they just figure that, like, oh, they'll have an easier time come the second round and beyond. I don't know. But, you know, I think that just looked a little suspect to me. That's all I'm going to say.
I think it's weak sauce by the defending champion to try to pick an easy route and not just be like, we're just going to win the games and then play who we have. Because you know what? If they did want to rest their players, they wouldn't have played everybody full throttle against the Celtics in game 81, right?
Yeah.
They played everybody. And then they rested everybody in 82.
Yeah.
That was strategic to say, we don't want to drop to the 4 seed.
Yeah.
We want to be at the 3rd seed. They did that intentionally. It's like, it's soft, and it also is disrespectful to the Celtics because they think that less about the Celtics. They don't care about home court advantage in a potential series against the Celtics.
I mean, their coach is like the most stressed out looking guy like ever, right? So maybe he's just like, no, I'm not taking any fucking chances. I'm just gonna.
Oh no, they're scared of KD. I think that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm thinking, because I'm saying, like, he's him as a coach. You know, if they didn't win, last year, he would have no job.
Oh yeah, I know, he's done.
He was done.
Yeah, which I think is just a little bit lame. But you know what? When you get successful and you get fat, you get happy, you get comfortable. Right? That's what the Bucks are. They think they can choose whatever, and they're just going to make it back to where they are, and that never works out. It's like on Survivor. When they always interview that one guy that's like, I'm not
Survivor.
Going home. I am so safe this week. He's fucking going home. You can't be overconfident. You can never be overconfident. So, and that's where the Bucks are right now. And I'm really glad that the Celtics didn't fall into that trap, because
gotta stay humble, guys. Gotta stay humble, you know?
Gotta stay humble. And this, which is why, like, the Celtics, you have to win every game. You can't change up what's been going well for you. Like, you've won every single fucking game for, like, basically the past 3 months. You can't intentionally lose anything now. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go for it. So I'm glad they did.
Well, I think the Rob injury is a big part here. I think that's the reason why some people would be like, well, I don't know. I mean, that defense that we saw against the Nets, it's going to look a little different without Rob out there. But the way these guys have been pulling together defensively, you know, in contrast to what Brooklyn's been doing, like, I don't know. Like, everything you guys have been saying, like, I like the Celtics' chances. I like this storyline, if you will. You know what I mean? And, like, and look, if the Celtics can't beat a team like the Nets, then they're not destined to make the recent NBA Finals.
Yeah,
I mean, let's face it, you know? Not to put it so bluntly, but like, that's what it is.
No,
like,
you're right.
Not to take the obvious, but you know,
you're right.
That's what it is.
Even
Park, you gotta have that mindset.
Even Park, who he wants, you know, credit for this turnaround here, even though he was probably one of the loudest ones to say, no, it's time to split up, you know, Jalen and Tatum. He says
everyone forgot about that too,
right? Yeah. He says as soon as Rob went down, he was like, yo, this team ain't going past the second round. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. Going back to what Sway said. This team operates on a different level when they're not the favorites, right? Everybody was talking about the Celtics. Don't sleep on the Celtics when Rob was healthy. And as soon as Rob goes down, it was a few of us like, I don't know, man. I don't know if they're going to come out the East now. No, they take care of the Nets in the first round. The sooner the better, obviously. You got Rob just chilling, waiting for that second round matchup against the Bucks. And whatever happens, happens, you know? But it's going to be a deep playoff run, in my opinion, because This team has been slept on even during their little turnaround. How many times did you hear, well, they're not beating any teams that are fully healthy? You know, they went in that little 9-game winning streak. No, they're not beating any teams that are 100% yet. And it's like, oh, okay. So it doesn't mean anything that you win 9 in a row? All right, cool. And so how about 25 out of the last like 30? Does that mean anything? Like, come on.
Well, I also think that the Celtics will take a hit without Rob defensively. But like,
they will, but it's not like they're big, the Nets.
Right, and that's what I mean. Maybe you go from like the number one defensive ranked team to the number two defensive ranked team without Rob, because they were literally light years ahead of that. So like, they still will have a top five defense without Rob. The Nets don't play any defense, and yeah, exactly, Joel. Having a rim protecting center against the Nets isn't as important as it would be against the Bucks, right?
Yeah. No, so, definitely, and yeah, you do. Obviously, you miss you know, his 4 to 5 alley-oop dunks in any given, you know, game. But, I mean, I take my chances with Marcus Smart guarding Kevin Durant or him switching off with whoever.
Now, I throw Tatum on Durant, mano-a-mano, give him some help, obviously, in some situations. But Marcus has got to lock down Kyrie, man. That's all. Just make Kyrie a 20-point scorer. That's it. You know, he can't don't contain him. Don't let him go off. If Marcus can do that, then I think the series is a wrap.
You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to put up a good game. Like, look, I don't want this to be, if the Nets win by like 4, oh, well, the Cavs are so close. No. Like, it's going to be like that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spread's 8.5. If you definitely bet the Cavs to cover that. It's crazy.
Even with Mobley back, 8.5?
Yeah. Jared Allen's not playing.
That's right. That's why. I was like, 8.5 is a lot.
It's okay, guys. It's Rondo. Rondo's about to step up in this one, all right? He's gonna do the Celtics a favor.
Playoff Rondo, dog.
Yo, playoff Rondo. One more trick up his sleeve.
Does he even get run on that team?
Yeah, man.
I have not watched a single, even with
Does Lee, he even get run?
Even with Come League on, Pass, I haven't watched a single Cavaliers game all year. Even when they played the Celtics, I think I accidentally missed those games for some reason.
The four games.
Well, you're sleeping. you're really doing your disservice to those $100 you dropped. Or was it $50?
No, there's plenty of other games you can watch on League Pass.
Yeah, but you would have been all caught up for this matchup between them and the Nets. But see,
well, I didn't. I also didn't realize that they lost 8 out of 10 to end the season. That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's kind of why they're in this position.
Yeah. They kind of trended the wrong way there, Sean.
Yeah, you know,
someone had to fall. You know, someone had to fall. The Celtics were surging. You know, the Miami Heat, got back on track.
The Raptors, dude. The Raptors are fucking playing like they got nothing to lose.
Yeah,
fucking someone Nick had Nurse, to fall, right?
Now Nick Nurse and Siakam, you know,
the best duo right now.
Jeez,
the best what?
The best duo right now, right? Nick Nurse and fucking Siakam.
the best coach duo. Yeah, best coach star player duo in Canada, definitely.
In Canada, yeah, there you go.
By the way, I hate Nick Nurse.
I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, why would you even like him?
No.
What's the reason for Sean Dusha to like him? So
no, that makes sense. It's not that I hate Nick Nurse. It's I hate the credit Nick Nurse is given for just being an idiot.
Like, you know what I can't stand about Nick Nurse? And it was just all based off
by Leonard. That's why he won a championship.
The reason why I don't like Nick Nurse is from the bubble series. Every press conference, he has to be all friendly and chummy with like every person that asked him a question. Like
Canadian, eh?
And I was just like, what the? Is he Canadian? No, he's not.
No. Sean was just saying that as if that's a greeting or something.
No, he's a friendly guy, you know?
Oh, I thought you were saying as like Canadian, eh? Like that was like saying hi or something to each person.
Your friendly average Canadian coach.
Like win or lose, his press conferences were like 45 minutes long after every game.
They were 45 minutes. They were long.
They were fucking long, yo, because he's just sitting there like
45 minutes.
Every like question was like, oh, by the way, like how's your wife doing? Like how are the kids? You know, it's just like, yeah, answer the fucking question. No one cares that you know this person personally.
Yeah. It's the Bobby Valentine schmoozing the media just to not get a bad rap. Get that extra love, you know? Coach.
Imagine Brad Stevens was like that.
That's what I mean. Brad Stevens would have won Coach of the Year five times if he was nice to the media, not a dry sack of nickels, you know? I guess
as opposed to dry sack of quarters?
His personality.
Hey, take it easy, man. Come on, Brad. Listen, make it sound like he was like, you know, like no emotion. You know what I mean? Like
he's not Belichick.
Smile and shit. Yeah. He's got character. Exactly. He's not
Belichick. That dude's got a personality of a fucking tree.
Every press conference.
It's a little dry, but you know.
Every press conference was reading like Great Expectations. Like that's how dry it was, bro. Just friggin'.
I don't appreciate the slander about
Brad. I know, right? All of a sudden, man, I thought that was like Brad was your guy, bro. What's going on?
No. How soon they forget.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy who, this team that you love so much, he put this thing together.
He finagled that bad boy. He puppered this shit real quick.
You guys forget how we got here. I'm saying Brad Stevens should have been a five-time winner of Coach of the Year.
But you shit on him. That's like a back-end compliment.
He never schmoozed the media because he's so dry. if he just had a little personality, I'm talking about the face of the NBA. That's how good of a coach Brad Stevens
was. Why has he got to schmooze the media?
For real, bro.
Why has he got to Nick Nurse everybody?
I'm telling you, if he just did it, he would have got national
record. And I think he's showing a little more personality now that he's the GM because he doesn't have the fucking headaches as a coach.
Yeah. Personality's through the roof. That's one thing about Brad Stevens. I will not inflate.
You will not. You're not gonna co-sign on this personality? Come on, man.
No, man.
Imagine him answering like a Jared White X and O question. Jared, did you come up with all that by yourself? Like, wow, that's impressive. Or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Like embracing it.
He's like, Jared, wow, you know, I'm really impressed with the research you've done here, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right? Or if he was just like, hey John, how's the girlfriend? John would just be like, she's all right. But hey, look, in the second quarter, you said that, you know, like Carrasco wouldn't want any of that. He's like, no,
you know,
man.
You know what, John?
Stick to business here.
You know what, John?
I'm asking you a question.
That's a great question. You know, I really appreciate it. You know, you always ask a great question, you know? And he's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he would be like, you know what, Brad? I'll answer that off camera. But you know what? What's up with Jason Tatum?
No, they
wouldn't. What's up with Tatum's shot selection? More important thing, you know? Like
Morales would melt in a coach giving him prop for a good question. Any media reporter, and so you're it too. If somebody, front of everybody else was being like, Josue Pavone, awesome question. How's the fam? How's everything going? You're going to be like, this will fucking, dude.
No, but like you said, his personality. I'm saying like his personality, like you say, it's dry like a fucking bag of nickels, whatever. Like if he all of a sudden was just like, you know what?
Don't just say whatever.
That's a great question. You know what I'm saying? Like you'd be like, whoa, you never talked to me like this all season long. Now all of a sudden you like my question? Like, nah, man. I'd be like, yo, you're being sarcastic right now. Yo, fuck off.
No. But Sean's saying that was like every single time. Like you know that shit would get old after a while. And you should be like, you know what, Brad, we'll just talk later, man. You know, because that's how Boston reporters are. I just think Toronto, the beat is just a whole different, you know, gang, you know? Like, or maybe it's not the beat, maybe it's just the Boston thing. Like, you know, the whole mass hole thing, like, that's a real thing. Like, you know, like, dude, I'm asking you about the player. Like, I don't think it would be received as well as you say it would be, you know? Nope. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, and not only that, but, like, at that time, too, like, it was all through Zoom. Like, yo, we have limited time here. Like, you know, like, come on, get to it.
Like, imagine Gary Washburn. You'd be like, my wife's all right, but, Brad, like, I'm trying to ask you something, man. Like, listen. You know, like,
stop avoiding the question.
Yeah, right, yeah. I'm trying to do my job here. Maybe he wouldn't say that, but, like, you would be like, you know, you keep it short and then be like, let's get back to the thing.
Listen, no. If it comes down to it,
the younger reporters, though, Sean, I'm with you. Yeah,
if somebody's super nice to you, and then when you go to write that, you get, you know, you lick the tip of your pen to write that.
I'm just like, whoa, where are we going here? What's going on?
All up against. I just heard lick the tip. I'm like, wait, what?
You think twice. You think twice before putting pen to paper. I'm just saying, and that's why Nick Nurse won Coach of the Year, because he friggin'. People, he was nice to people. Well, Brad Stevens is a better coach, and he's just dry.
Where'd you come up with this shit?
This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even the next season futures. And don't forget that baseball is back and the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, let's take our trip around the NBA. Let's wrap up this episode the way we wrap up every
We're not making our predictions.
Oh yeah, predictions. Wait, predictions? No, because there's still a chance.
Predictions for what?
There's still a chance.
We're not looking ahead. This I think playoff mode, man.
Make two predictions. We got to make predictions for the Brooklyn series and or the Cleveland series. Two very different things that could happen
for both series. If goes what it's gonna be Celtics in five, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Just go ahead and say you're Celtics in five, Celtics in four. Like, what's the point of doing this? Like, no one thinks it's gonna be interesting. But
you guys don't. You guys think it could be short against the Nets? Because I'm.
I don't. But I mean, wow. What's your prediction?
I mean, I think the Celtics will win, but I think it's going to be it's going to be a dogfight, I think. I mean,
you can't keep a straight face. What you're trying to say?
No, I am being serious. I want to say Celtics sweep, but I playoffs are different. It's a different animal for the playoffs. Like, KD's good for two games, right? I mean, if you can keep Kyrie from taking over any games, then or winning any games, because he could probably take over in a loss. I think this thing's going six at least, if not seven. To be honest, now if it's Cleveland, you probably give the edge to the Cavs, you know. But no, if it's Cleveland, then it's a fucking sweep, and then they get their cakewalk series that we're all saying they did so good to avoid, but. Yeah, I do think it's going to be an absolute dogfight. It's probably one of the best first round series in a very long time. What has been a better first round series than the best team in the Eastern Conference in the second half of the season and the best team on paper? You know,
yeah, I just don't think that they were ever the best team on paper.
I think it's got to go seven. I think it got to go seven. Celtics in seven. I'll give Celtics.
Really?
But I think I think it's going to go seven. I do.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I mean, everything that I'm saying about the Nets sucking, they still got Kevin Durant, you know, and they still got.
Yeah, you know, he dropped 50 of the night in a loss, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know,
he's gonna get
just about that.
Yeah, he's gonna get
just about that. It's just I don't think that they could beat the Celtics three times. I just don't. I don't know. With that being said, I got Celtics in six. But
sure. So splitting hairs. I was 6 or 7, but I think if I'm predicting it, if I'm putting money down on it, then I think we're coming back to Boston for game 7. And the Celtics win in blowout fashion.
All right, Drew, what you got?
I'm gonna stick with 5 because I think it's personal when it comes to these two teams.
And this time personal.
Like forget the whole Kyrie when he used to be here. Forget that, because Tatum will never say anything bad about Kyrie. Marcus, Jalen, even Al Horford, they won't say anything bad about Kyrie. But based on how the season ended last season, and based on all the stuff that he's said about Boston in general since, it's like if you don't use that as any kind of motivation, then yeah, this might go the distance. But if you're gonna jump out the way you've been jumping out on the majority of these teams over the last 30, 40 games, like come out early, especially at home, especially that crowd's gonna be crazy. By the way, those first two games in Boston, like they're gonna set the tone. If they set the tone early, then it's gonna be in 5, I think.
What game do they lose?
Probably one of the Brooklyn games, probably game 4.
Yeah, because I do think if the Celtics go up if the Celtics can go up 3-0, or even 2-0, and maybe 3-0, I don't know. But Brooklyn does have the ability to just totally fall apart and give up it on. So that they could, it could totally go the other way too, right?
Or you know, all of a sudden there's an injury
to Kyrie,
and you know.
I do hope they just throw Ben Simmons in and just ruin him. That'd be awesome.
Oh, man.
This KD's like, yo, Ben, you fucking play. I'm out. That would just be great.
We could still have James, for God's sake.
Who the fuck made this deal? Look what Harden's doing over there. We could just wait it out, you know? Now I got fucking Ben Simmons back over here. Hurt my back.
You don't think my back hurts trying to carry this fucking squad?
Carrying this Australian fucking motherfucker.
I don't understand why they're dangling him like he's going to play. Like he's not going to play.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. It's stupid. It's yeah.
What does that do for them? Nothing. Dangling.
Yeah.
They play. The Celtics like, oh, no, no. Come on. Don't play Ben.
No, don't do it, please.
Yeah, no way.
If Ben does play, though, they sweep. No, I'm just kidding.
So many fucking variables, man.
Yeah, right. In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
All right, in case you missed it, the Lakers, the good old L.A. Lakers, who we didn't even make it to the play-in tournament. You know, we really haven't talked about that since, but, you know, just had to throw that in there, have fired their head coach of 3 seasons, Frank Vogel, less than 24 hours following their regular season finale. L.A., of course, finished 33-49 in the year that they were pretty sure they were the favorites, right, to come out of the West and, you know, win it all again.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Especially after the infamous trade for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, they were favored even over the Nets, I think, to start the season.
Even over the Suns, which I thought was like...
Yeah, right?
Shouldn't they be neck and neck?
Right. Everybody was talking about the Suns and the fucking... I mean, the Lakers and the Nets. That was the hoopla.
Yep.
Over the summer. But according to Rob Pelinka, quote, today is not going to be a day of finger pointing and unwinding all the specific reasons. We just felt...
Frank, it was your fault.
I know, but Frank, you fucking suck. We just felt organizationally at the highest level, it was time for a new voice. End quote. Vogel and the Lakers, you know, they did win the championship less than 2 years ago in the bubble. But for now, it seems like the Vogel staff won't be touched or they're going to be let go as of now. They do want a new head coach in place by the draft, according to Pelinka. So it should be interesting.
Coach, player coach LeBron?
Nah, Sway had a, he brought somebody up. We talked about this.
Mike Brown?
Nah, Fizdale. Was it Fizdale? That's his name, right? Take that for data guy when he used to be in Miami.
Yeah, what's he been doing?
He's the assistant there in the Lakers.
Yeah. Well,
that's what happens. LeBron picks his favorite assistant, and then he goes, you know what, man? You could be somebody, you know? And then that person becomes the head coach of the team.
This is your chance. This is your chance.
Yeah, a year or two later.
Mike Brown, Ty Lue. That's what we thought was going to happen with Jason Kidd, right? When
that's the whole reason why Fizdale took the job.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, I'll just leak coach sensitive information to LeBron.
Yo, and Vogel, Vogel was always hired to be fired because they were supposed to be Jason Kidd that was going to take over. That was always the plan.
He was hired to be fired.
To be fired,
and then somehow he won a championship in the first year, and they're like,
fuck,
to re-sign Frank fucking Vogel. Damn, see this thing happening.
Yo, Frank's still here.
It's like, all right, let's give AD his extension and tell Frank we'll talk to him at some point, but like, you know, don't let him get a big head over this because
You know LeBron walked to Lakers office after they won the championship. Yo, Frank's still got to go.
I don't know about y'all. Frank's got to go.
The plan doesn't change, right?
Jason was like, yeah, I mean, I thought like that was always that's where I got hired, right? Shut up, Jason. Like we'll deal with you, you know, when we deal with you. All right, relax.
You didn't get shit. All right.
The first year LeBron was there, it was Luke Walton that was there, right? They don't make the playoffs, and LeBron's like, yeah, like this, we were supposed to fucking sign everybody, and we didn't do shit, so get rid of this motherfucker.
Luke had some shit going on too, right? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, he did. Poor Luke. But yo, seriously though, like over the last decade, there's been like 7 head coaches in LA.
Yeah, well, jeez. Very stable franchise, you know. everything works well in there, you know. I don't think a lot of leaks within the organization.
No, none whatsoever. And of course, you're gonna hear the LeBron, like, you know, I don't make the decisions when it comes to, you know, who's coming here and who's not. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Like,
you know, if I'm the Lakers, I will just be like, LeBron, we're naming you coach because I'm not paying millions of dollars to somebody just to do nothing. Then, like, I can't sign somebody to work as a 1-year contract for you. You're gonna want this guy gone next year, so we're not paying him. Coach the fucking team himself. That's what I would tell him. Because they're gonna eat money if you sign a coach, a good coach. Let's even say they sign Fizdale. They'll sign Fizdale to like 3 years, $25 million. That's $25 million for a season because he's gone next year, bro. You know, if he doesn't turn into the dude from the Heat, what's his name? Spoelstra?
Man, it's all good. You know, maybe he'll even take less because he's still getting paid from the Knicks. You know, the Knicks just got rid of his ass too soon, too.
not like Fizdale has a great track record either. Like,
come on, man, he's trying.
No.
Dude, just like, no.
Yeah, you got the Shaq in New York, man.
Yeah. No. And before that, like the Grizzlies were getting older, so he tried, man. He tried.
No, he got kicked out of Memphis. He got kicked out of New York. Now he goes to LeBron to save him. I don't think Fizdale is a great head coach. Maybe they should call Mike Brown.
Dude, you're such an asshole, bro. just a dick, bro.
The track record's there.
No one gets the benefit of the doubt for Dude, bro, unless you're like one of his guys. Just an asshole.
Well, you know, Fizdale is a little gnarly to the media too. You know, that's why he doesn't get the
here we go.
It's the Brad Stevens treatment. He's just not as good a coach.
No. They'll get fucking Carlisle, right? Isn't Carlisle gonna like, you know, walk away from, you know, that great experience in Indiana?
Yeah, imagine Carlisle being like, yo, I'm gonna leave Luka Doncic at age 21 to go coach Indiana.
Bro, there's deeper shit there in Dallas. There's too much shit going on in Dallas that he had to bounce.
Yeah, and Luka is, I think, a major asshole, seems like. Sort of seems.
Well, speaking of which, in case you missed it, Luka Doncic has suffered a left calf strain, apparently, according to an MRI that he had.
Why was that delivery so upbeat? Jeez.
No, because listen.
This poor guy.
Jeez. No, but listen, right? The Mavs regular season finale, right? He suffered the injury. And he was seen on Monday limping with a walking boot. And there's no timeline, but the Mavs haven't ruled him out for game one against the Jazz next Saturday. I think that's the very first playoff game of the postseason. So here's the irony, fellas, because he had picked up his 16th technical foul.
Very first playoff game of the postseason? No fucking shit, dude.
Of the NBA postseason, like that's the first game, like at the 1 o'clock start on Saturday. That's what I was trying to say. You douchebag.
Playoff game, though.
The first playoff game of the NBA postseason.
Okay.
All right. Of the 2022
Sean's taking away the red squiggly line on your sentence right now. All right.
Jesus. That's one of those ones I'll circle it with a question mark.
Yeah. Oh, the green line just doesn't go to the freaking, like, yo, what the?
I'm not saying it's wrong.
I
just need you to explain it to me. Explain your thinking.
You didn't misspell anything, but the grammar leaves a little more work there.
Yeah. Repetitive, like it's one of those suggested grammar updates. Suggested, like maybe a little.
It's suggested, but if you don't take it, they're not taking away the green line.
No, it's staying there. And it is one of those ones where
you do it. This sentence is suspect.
Yeah. Right? Even if you do ignore it, it just fucking pops back up when you do spell check again. It's like, this one?
Again, about this sentence over here. And still going with this? Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Joel. Go ahead.
So anyways, Bacic, who shouldn't have been playing in the game because he technically had picked up his 16th technical foul of the season, but the Mavs bitched and complained to the NBA, so they rescinded it, and he was able to play in that game, and he shouldn't have been playing. So,
but then he was...
What?
But then he was injured.
Are you talking? What?
He got injured in the game that he was supposed to not play.
I see. And so,
Joe's about to lose it, bro.
The game before the season finale. That's when he picked up his 16th tech. He was supposed to be suspended. He was supposed to be suspended for the following game, but the NBA rescinded it because the Mavs bitched about it, and he played and he got injured. Got it?
Stop spell checking Joel. All right.
Don't lie in that situation, right?
Well,
why wouldn't you just get the suspension out of the way? It does carry over to the postseason, right?
It doesn't. Like, that's the regular season.
Oh, okay.
It resets.
It resets. That's why, like, when Tatum picked up his 15th, well, like a week ago, they were like, oh, no, he might get his 16th. He's like, no, I'm well fucking aware that I have one more tech before I get suspended, but it does reset when the playoffs start, so it doesn't matter.
Because I got a new batch when the playoffs start.
I know, right? What the fuck?
Oh, guys? Yeah. Payday's coming soon, baby. That bank account's filling up. We're good.
So
it's like, I'll use them wisely. So take it easy.
I'll use them wisely.
Don't spend them all in one place.
But you know I'm going to spend. I always fucking spend them.
Well, don't worry. You'll think I'm going to be overdrafting that account, but I won't do it.
If you think I'm not complaining about shit, you got another thing coming, right? I complain about everything. That's what
he's
I do.
Like, he's like, out of those 15 texts, maybe two are warranted, you know?
Yeah, right. Maybe two.
How many texts do I get in the playoffs? 7? Damn well I'm using 6.
And then if we make it to the NBA Finals, it resets, right? Nah, man. It's just it's the whole postseason, bro. Ah, shit. Who made that up? Yeah, I don't know.
It's like the last game. He's like,
using 6.
Game 7 of the NBA Finals. He's like, yo, I got 3 texts. And damn, I can't leave him. It's burning a hole in my pocket, man. I gotta spend him. I got it.
But yo, listen, man. I'm the tech god, all right? This is what I do. I get techs out here.
Oh, shit. All right. In case you missed it, right? We briefly, brought up good old Ben Simmons and his status. Technically still up in the air for the Brooklyn Nets here.
Yeah, in a slander freaking manner. So, yeah. We brought it up earlier.
Yeah, like, according to ESPN, like, it's still a possibility type of shit. But
you know what? All over his whole career is what you got.
Ducha's favorite coach, Steve Nash, says that, he welcomes the challenge of trying Steve to Nash integrate Simmons into their team during the playoffs. Like, bro, he hasn't played in a fucking year. Like, what the hell do you think he's going to do for you? What's he going to do for you?
Yeah. It's not like riding a bike, bro.
You're Stephen A. Smith today, just spazzing. Like, we deserve the right.
Stephen A. Smith spazz?
How you hurt your back? It's like, how did you hurt your
back? That's
what
I'm saying. Now he has a hurt back.
Oh, he wants receipts now?
He wants receipts.
I want to know what the hell you were doing that you hurt your back. You ain't played since last June. What were you doing? What the hell happened, Kendrick Perkins, Jay Williams? Was he riding up the turnpike on I-95 with a car that was a bit rough around the edges, hit a pothole, and tweaked his damn back? What the hell happened? I want to know what happened. You haven't played a minute, a second, since last June. That is 10 months. You ain't touched a damn basketball in an official capacity. Did you slip in the tub? Was you getting your groove on and tweak your hip? I mean, did you hit a pothole on the turnpike? What the hell is going on? I can't believe I'm the only one saying this.
You're not the only one.
What was he doing, Jay Williams?
That's the question.
Jay Williams, what the hell was he doing?
I can't defend it.
Was he getting his groove on, tweak the hip the wrong way? I mean, did he hurt his back?
Several
ways he could hurt your back.
Where's the X-ray?
He is not allowed to play in the postseason until he tells us how.
We know.
It's like that's his birth certificate take.
Yeah, like him.
We need to see his birth certificate.
Yeah, yep. Him not fucking playing is gonna. He thinks it's gonna help him get that fucking all the fines he got with Philly. He wants that money back. He cares more about getting paid than fucking playing right now. So. That's the bottom line.
But what about the birth certificate?
I don't know about that, but I don't think he cares that much about playing.
No, I don't think that makes sense about playing.
Yeah, he's like this season was this season the moment he got traded, he's like, I'm good. Like I'm, you know.
So wait.
I got what I wanted and I don't have to come back.
Honestly, guys, let's be real. Like, there's no like positive outcome to this. Because even if he does help, and let's say he like puts something up that's like remotely close to, you know, what he did last year or whatever, everyone's going to be like, well, why the fuck didn't you do this sooner? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this criticism, no matter what happens, if he decides to fucking put a uniform
and
on.
If he does come back.
But he could have avoided that like 3 weeks ago or shit, even last week, 2 weeks ago, you know, ramp up, play the last like 10 games of the season and go into the playoffs. But going in like this, just fresh off of not playing all season, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
Also, don't you think that Ben Simmons and a healthy Nets team could have won, what was it, two more games to catch the Bulls and maybe not even be
They wouldn't even be in the situation. Yeah, I agree with that. His defense alone and just as a playmaker probably helps him win two games.
Yeah, so especially
at minimum.
If he comes into the series and he's playing
at minimum.
And like even if he's playing at a good level but they still lose the first round. That's going to be like, what a piece of trash.
Yeah, because bottom line is, like, no, yeah.
Especially the games when you didn't have Kyrie, when they still had the mandate.
Like, bottom line, he comes back in the middle of the playoffs. This will be the first time he'll play since last spring, right, where he was just a mess during that series against the Hawks.
Since Doc hurt his feelings in that post game.
And you don't think he's going to have some like sort of like breakdown in the middle of a game? Like, how is he going to help you? Tell me, how does he help the Brooklyn Nets right now? If he hasn't played in like in a year.
Just if you think that Philly was bad on Ben Simmons, you think if he steps on the court in Boston, he will get eviscerated. Like
you think Kyrie and Durant are taking him under his wing, their wing, their collective wing.
They do it. That's
I don't
fine.
I don't think so because
you think Boston gives a fuck.
No, like, I don't think neither are doing that because I remember KD like after the trade, like, yo, you're giving him like any pointers, and he's just like, yo, he's a big boy, like he can fucking figure that shit out. Like, it's like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm not gonna fucking sit
there.
Yeah,
you know, you can't say it to the media, but you don't think behind closed doors, like you have to send him a lifeline because at the end of the day, it's like you're the leaders of this team. How do you not embrace someone like this? Like,
I don't think Simmons is in the clique, right?
They're probably not smoking joints together, but they're probably, you know, you know. And by the way, I'm saying this because this is directly from the book. Like Durant doesn't care. Like he'll do it after practice. Yeah, I shouldn't assume about Kyrie, but I guess I'm throwing.
No, Katie's pretty open about his extracurricular activities.
I think he's invited to lunch and dinners, but maybe they're not kicking it at Katie's place. You know what I mean? You have to embrace him.
James was at least doing that. Harden was hanging. Harden was part of the crew. It didn't work out, but
Well, obviously, man, Harden is a different story because he was bringing something to the table. I'm saying, like, I don't think this is like an awkward, like, you know, like, oh, you're the new guy on the team and we didn't even ask for this. You know what I mean? Like, I think you have to embrace him because if not, you're just an awful leader. But they're not going to do it on camera. You know what I mean? They're going to like be subtle about it.
It's like essentially you got rid of, you know, one of the top, like, you know, 10, arguably 15th player, you know, in the league for nothing because Ben's not playing.
Funny thing is, though, is Harden is reverting into playoff Harden as of late. Guy can't find a basket, and I don't know.
Just say it, and I love it. You know, this is great.
Yeah, but you still like if the Nets had to, if KD had to pick, like, you know, Ben Simmons versus, you know, even a shitty Harden, I think he's going with the shitty Harden, you know, 9 times out of 10.
Well, I mean, 4 for 13 shooting, 4 for 15 shooting, and that's not going to help nobody.
Well, maybe if he's just there just for passing purposes, that you don't have to have Kyrie be your point guard.
I just think it's funny. When that trade happened, I think the resounding opinion was, wow, both teams get significantly better. And both teams have not gotten better from those trades.
You don't know, but what was the local saying of that sentence, though? Both teams got better and the Celtics didn't. look what happened, man. Yeah. Look what happened since the trade deadline. Look at all three of those teams' records. You know, who had the best record? Boston. I mean,
Philly, say what you want about them. They did cling to the 4 spot, but they had the 1 seed pretty much locked down. They were the number 1 seed when they traded for Harden, right?
Yeah.
Were they?
They were either the number 1 or number 2.
They were either number 1 or number 2, yeah.
And, like, Chicago was up there at that point or something.
Yeah,
like
Miami didn't make their run yet.
All I know is the week that trade happened, the Celtics shat on the Nets while Harden was on there, and then they shat on Philly when Harden got traded there.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, man.
All right, man. What else we miss?
Yeah, and last but not least, and speaking of Kevin Durant, our CEO, CEO of CLNS, which is who Causeway Street is under, that's been our umbrella now for quite some time, Nick Gelso, who was also the founder of CLNS, had a little run-in with KD on Twitter. And I'll let you talk about this a little bit here. You guys on the Garden Report got into more details of this. You actually had Nick on the show talking about this this little squabble, if you will, on Twitter.
No, we're going to get him on next episode. He's got to talk to his lawyers. But, yeah, we'll have him on next episode. Tell his side.
His lawyers? Wait.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking. Sounds like, did he say that shit?
I thought he was Imagine if CLNS sues Kevin Durant, bro. That would be amazing.
See,
that'd
this is why. This is another reason why I don't think, you know.
I was thinking the other way around.
Yeah, that's why I don't think KD CLNS is thinking about, like, you know, taking anybody under his wing. He's just like, I'm here to do, you know, my thing. And if it's up to the team to bring whoever is supposed to be around me, and I'm just doing whatever I'm supposed to do. And I check Twitter and, you know, halftime, check Twitter after the games. And that's just, he's all about him.
Yeah, true. Well, in case you missed it, Nick, the whole thing started with him putting together an all-time team and saying that Larry Bird has, you know, there's a legitimate argument to be made that Larry Bird had a better career than Kevin Durant. And it wasn't that he, quote, you know, retweeted Nick. It was a comment that he said when he's going back and forth with Nets fans. And, you know, it did create a lot of buzz before KD responded to it. But the comment that KD responded to was him pretty much saying, Nick saying that he's always got to make himself out to be the villain. And, you know, he liked to be in his position and, you know, he's a fraud. I think that's the part that hit him, because that was the what he quote tweeted. And, man, for him to say that, it's funny how a grown ass man could say anything to be an attention whore, like, you know, talking to Nick. That's funny that he responded to that he would pick that out, because I'm sure he gets people in his mentions every single day. But for, like, clutch points to, like, pick up on it and put a graphic together and be like, you're going to shoot at KD. You better not miss. Oh, Burn. He burned you. It's just like, I guess. But, like, why? Like,
why is it cool?
Yeah, why is that a cool thing to do?
Why isn't the headline like, oh, Kevin Durant again is responding to fans on fucking on Twitter. Like, he really cares. And he does. That's the thing.
Nick, this is
on a game day, too. This is, like, hours before tip-off. Like, they had a game
triple down on this. He needs to go full Rappaport.
Rappaport beat the
Raiders. Oh, Rappaport would have the video out on IG by now.
That's what I mean. What's they doing? Get the second base.
Yeah, here we are, like 24 hours later. It's still sitting at the top of Kevin Durant's fucking Twitter page, right? It's crazy how internet made grown men attention whores. That's the quote. You know, he quote tweeted Nick Gelso on how he called him a villain and a fraud, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we all know how soft Durant is on social media, but...
Well, I think that's what Nick is trying to say. Nick's being like, yo, you're painting yourself as that, because obviously it's a dig at the burner account thing. Like, you know, if you're Kevin Durant, the first thing you're thinking is like, all right, he's making a joke about that. But, you know, you're calling me a fraud and you're saying that, you know, I paint myself to be this guy and that, like, you know, I think that's what hit him. But then it's just like, why can't you just let that, you know what I mean? Like, why is that something that you have to respond to on Twitter? Like, it's just, like
listen to this tweet. Tell me if you would even respond to this tweet, right? And it's not a dig at Nick. It's just like, just listen to this tweet. He'd be so, so, so sad, but no matter what, you know, Kevin Durant feels inside, he always portrays himself as an angry, mean, big, bad villain. LOL, fraud. Like, are you responding to that? If you're an athlete, if you're a professional athlete,
no.
That's it.
Like, the only thing I can get at is like maybe he definitely read Nick's info and was to be like, this guy is the CEO of a whole like company, so you probably was just like, man, this guy in his mind he's like, oh, this guy is like 60. And he's like, you know, that's why he's calling him a grown ass man. I don't think he means it as like grown ass man, as just an adult. He's saying like, no, like you're an old ass dude on a Sunday morning, you know, put me on blast. I'm just like, but dude, you're the guy who's like responding to, I don't know. The whole thing is just weird.
Yeah. I think KD was literally, you know, heartbroken because of the strong friendship Nick and KD had over the years. KD didn't see it coming from Nick, you know?
I mean, if we get this series, which it looks like we're going to get the series between Celtics and Nets, man. This thing ain't over. I want to see what Nick got up his sleeve, because it's going to get interesting. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like a straight up beef. Like, he's going to be like talking trash about KD, but he's going to be keeping a close eye on the series and pointing out different facts and stuff. And we'll see.
And I think the whole fraud thing is not like him as a player. I think it's just fraud. It's like, you know, you're not this big, tough, mean guy like you think you are.
Just from an entertainment standpoint, I'm a little bit upset that Nick just sort of took it. Like, why didn't he go back at him? Why didn't he triple down on it? You know what I mean? Like,
why didn't he go full Ducha?
Why? Yeah, like, how are you gonna? He was almost like, yeah. Like it was more like
Sean was like, oh, I would have quote tweeted him seven more times before the day was over.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. And then the only thing that I saw from Nick was like, whoa, yeah, my this tweet's in front of like 7 million people now. Nice.
Well, because he was responding to, which I don't recommend, by the way. Well, I don't think like, all right, here's my thing. Like, if you're going to, obviously, a tweet like that, you're going to get hundreds of responses, right?
Right.
You got to pick them. You know what I mean? You got to pick like a few. Nick picked like 17. It's just like, all right, man. Like, you know, it's like, you don't have to respond to all those people.
Yeah. I mean,
because at that point, you're not talking to Kevin anymore. You're talking to some rando who's like calling you.
Kevin wins.
Like, you know what?
Kevin wins. You know what I mean? The whole KD is doing that just to be like, yo, I'm just going to ruin this guy's morning because I know.
Yeah. He's not expecting me to respond at all to this. Yeah.
If I, everyone's going to get on the guy and he's going to have his shit blown up.
You knew he was never going to, tweet Nick again afterwards.
Yeah. I would mute everybody but KD and just only send like 15 messages back to KD.
See, my thing is, if you're going to respond to somebody, respond to Kevin or don't respond at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you really have to, maybe respond to one person, but that's it. Like, but after you said your response to KD and then KD hasn't responded, like, all right, I said my thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to respond. Nick was 1,000% always going to respond. Like, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't be like the, hey, I'm just happy to be here guy. You know, you can't be that guy when this happens, man.
That's how he kind of comes off of, because he's trying to like not look like he's mad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But then it came off as that. It's just like, oh no, you're really just happy to be here. Like,
yeah. So gotta love being able to criticize your CEO's social media game. You know, it's just great. It's America 2022, you know? You know, I really think that he should have acted a little bit more confident out there, you know? Good old Twitter.
It's wild. Yeah. One of the greatest scorers of all time. Fucking shout out Nick. That's insane.
I mean,
like, it's not like it's Kyrie. Like, this is fucking Kevin Durant. I wonder if this is something discussed. Like, I'm sure, like, Kyrie got to be somewhat familiar with CLNS in terms of, like, just the fact that they have, like, you know, pressers. You know what I mean? Like, that's been the go-to for, if you're not a player, another reporter is looking for quotes. Like, for Celtics quotes, it's CLNS. So,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe they
trying to connect the dots here. Maybe something's been something. Yo, like, you know, the CEO's getting at me, and like, what? Like, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what those two talk about, man? You never know.
Yeah, you do wonder how that bubbled up. That's my biggest thing. Like, people shit on KD all the time.
Yeah, but the thing with KD is, though, he picks random like comments to respond to. It's not like whether you have a check mark or not. Like, he'll respond to the most random of people. That's what it is. And I think that might have happened here, even though, you know. Even though it appears,
yeah, but case. you know he's looking at his info, man. Anyone with a blue check, he's like, who is this dude? And it's like, yo, the CEO of a company or the owner, you know what I mean? Like, the founder of a company.
Yeah, Durant.
Either way, Durant's I can't wait for the series.
Probably one of those mornings where you just like, you know, taking a shit. You're on Twitter. You're just scrolling in. Oh, what the hell is this? I got time for this today. You know.
Huh? Probably.
All right, that's gonna do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Hit us up on social media, on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. Hit up Causeway After Hours. That's our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/causeway. Sway's got an interview up there with Leon Poe. Check that out. One-on-one with Sway.
By the way, we didn't dabble into the Western Conference play-in, but watch out for the Clippers, man. Not only in the play-in, but in the playoffs. If they can get that 7 seed.
And even if they don't, they can still fight for that 8 seed.
Well, I know, but I don't think they can beat the Suns. But I do think they can take down Grizzlies if Kawhi come back. Then
Mook about to go into playoff mode, man. But, you know how Marcus Morris does.
Yep. Watch out for those Clippers, bro.
Yeah, those playing games the next couple of days should be interesting to watch, nonetheless. And as always, Black Lives Matter. Let's stop Asian hate. Let's pray for peace in the Middle East. Let's stand with Ukraine. And also thoughts and prayers to the people of New York City after the horrible mass shooting that took place in Brooklyn. It's time for change and it's time for peace. And until next time, we are out.